This episode is brought to you by the official coffee of the Chromecast podcast, Fresh Roasted Coffee, who we've partnered with to make a special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend. Here at Chrome Unboxed, we're not just nerdy about Chromebooks, we're also coffee snobs. And look, we wasted a lot of time hand roasting coffee before we found Fresh Roasted Coffee, and we haven't looked back since. This coffee is roasted fresh to order, immediately packaged, nitrogen flushed, and shipped directly to your door. And although we can't officially say that this Chrome Unboxed edition tastes any better than the normal anniversary blend, that is the word around town. But don't just take our word for it. Pick up a bag for yourself and let us know what you think. You can grab a bag over at chromeunboxed.com/coffee. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe. Joined here today by Robbie and his Chromecast.
Get it? What's up?
It's a Chromecast on the Chromecast.
I think technically that's my Chromecast.
That's Gabriel. That's his voice there.
Did you buy it?
And his face if you're watching the video.
But I have the receipt with my name on it.
There's Andy Cam over there.
What's up, guys?
And Paul and Dan.
It just looks better without it on there.
It does. Those tags are horrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we did the pickup.
Best Buy pickup tags, the big red.
They're like, let's slap a tag on
it
this box.
It looks more like a return label, like something that was damaged or something.
It works, though. Their whole system has gotten really good.
You guys remember that time Robbie was out of the office and I dismantled his Pixelbook without him knowing?
Took the lid, right up off of it.
Hey, I wish who's the company? I forget the name. They do the deconstructed phones.
You get like a pixel that's all deconstructed in a frame.
We should get with them to do a pixel book. That'd be cool.
Yes.
Yeah. It'd have to be a big frame, but.
Big old frame, but it'd be dope.
I'd pay for it.
We could send them a camera and have them deconstructed.
Or better yet, let's just find one that's broken. We'll just do it.
Do it ourselves.
Yeah.
That's true.
Andy Cam can do it. We'll make him tear apart a computer.
Destroy it.
Yeah, we'll film it.
You can do it.
We'll film it too. Deconstructing a pixel book.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Chromecast, the new Chromecast, here in just a bit. But we got some other news first, and we just alluded to it right up there on the screen. If you're watching the video, you can see it. Also, we have
people listening to the audio are like, "What are you talking about?"
Also, before we get to that, speaking of video, the Chromecast podcast on YouTube. We decided "Hey, we got too much stuff to give away."
Yeah,
we got stuff piling up.
Yep.
We're running out of room in the office. From giveaway items. I mean, it's getting crowded in here. It's not that much.
Seriously. I was going to go along with you. Like, that's too far.
People are going to be like, whoa. There's a lot.
We do
have several things to give away. And we had originally set the goal of 10,000 subs on this channel. If you're watching this on the Chromecast podcast YouTube channel. We'd originally set a goal of 10,000. We're going to give away some stuff along the way. And then at 10,000, we're going to give away a Lenovo Chromebook Duet 3. We're still going to do that. But now we're doing it at 6,000 subscribers. Somebody commented, it was like, I'm sorry you can't get 10,000. I was like.
So are we.
I was like, oh, thanks.
Touché.
Sick burn, bro.
Thanks. Sick burn.
Comments sick burn. Disabled?
Weird flex, but okay. Yeah. We're gonna hit 10,000.
Yeah. In our defense, we had no real time, we had no idea how long it was gonna take.
Yeah.
So we have stuff piling up and we want to give this stuff away and we want
just
to
lower the goal a little bit and give it away sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you're listening to this or watching this and you haven't entered to win yet, you need to do it.
You know, it'd be funny.
Link in the description. Go check it out.
As we start pushing this, it'd be funny if like we hit 6,000 real fast and then it just continues going. And then 4 days later, we hit 10,000.
I would love that.
Oh, well.
And then we pass our main YouTube channel. That would be
I'd really, really
real
love
weird.
That. I'd really love that.
That would be weird.
We need to, I don't know. Let's start talking about crazy stuff that isn't Chromebooks and maybe we'll go viral.
We don't ever do that, though.
Yeah, I know. Let's get Jake Paul on this.
Can we not, please?
Speaking of, I got some new shoes this week.
There we go. Sneakers.
There you go.
A whole new podcast just about sneakers.
Sneaker cast.
The Chromecast is now Sneaker Cast.
Yeah. And we have the Golf Cast, the Club Cast.
Yeah, the Club Cast.
Yeah. We have
more. Those are some sick new kicks, though. I do like those. We'll make sure to throw up a photo on the video.
Yeah. Hold one
they're cool.
I like to see that.
There. Yeah, hold those
shoes
bad
coming
boys
off.
Up.
Now, see,
are they a gum? They are a gum sole.
Yeah. I can get down with that shoe.
Yeah,
those are sick.
So, what are these called?
Sploosh. I forget the name.
Okay. I don't know that. Yeah. I can't remember the colorway.
Are they Jordans?
They're Air Max 1s.
Air Max 1s. Okay. See, I would never know other than it doesn't have a Jordan logo on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Those are sick. But anywho,
I also have a new shoe, but you all can't see it, and I'm not going to show it to you. So.
Gabe's got a boot on. He broke his toe.
I got a boo-boo on my toe.
Yeah, so we're going to hit 10,000 eventually, but we wanted to reduce the goal a little bit so that we can hit it a little sooner. We can give away, and we're just going to do all of this stuff all at once. We're going to give away 6 prizes, 5 smart clock essentials with Alexa built in,
Lenovo.
And then 1 grand prize. Yeah, the Lenovo Smart Clock Essential, and then 1 grand prize Lenovo Chromebook Duet.
Are we going to have time to maybe do a little Chromecast on the West Coast? I know on the East Coast we're not going to.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
If we could do one on the West Coast, that would be dope.
That would be fun.
No,
we'll see.
East Coast, there's no way we're not going to have time to do that.
Yeah, we got some travel coming up, which is cool. But we got to figure out when we're going to do the podcast in those travel times. We'll figure it out one way or another.
There won't be a podcast.
I'll just host one.
And Andy Cam will just do one.
Andy Cam will sit here and just talk to himself.
And JoJo and Michael.
That would be the thing that drives us to 10,000.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, it's just Andrew sitting here with the plant.
Count to, just do a podcast of you counting to 10,000. Let's go viral. I'm trying to think of ways to go viral.
Oh, I lost my place. Start over. One.
With different inflections. Like,
1, 2, 3, 1, 7, 4, 9.
Actually, no. Say ginger 10 times. 10,000 times.
That's right.
Ginger.
I don't know. Just whatever. Ginger. Whatever you want to do. Talk about sneakers for an hour. Check out the link in the description. Enter to win if you haven't done it already.
Do it
right now.
Just
go get it.
Pause the video.
Tell your friends.
You enter your email. You click over to YouTube, you click subscribe. There's some other entries if you want those. If not, no problem. Just do those two and you're done. It'll take you 2 minutes.
Interesting statistic. Average American has 487 Facebook friends. So if you just share it on Facebook and 2% of your friends follow us,
we'll get there really fast. Give away stuff.
Exactly. Also, 90% of statistics are made up on the spot.
Okay, perfect.
That number is completely made up, but it sounds
Barney,
good.
83%.
Yeah, it's great.
That's your number.
I mean, it's
60% good of the time. It works every time.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on to some news of the week. First up, let's talk about Framework. So this is got it up there on the screen. This is a very interesting announcement, and
I'm crafting a post right now.
Something that is pretty cool.
And talk about out of left field, man. Yeah. I mean, just
not ready for that. I'm curious. I can't wait to see what the code name is.
Yeah, like we have no idea what the code name is on this device. We never saw anything in the repository because I don't even know what we'd be looking for.
Yeah, I don't know that they would have to do anything special because as long as the motherboard meets up with all the EC stuff and the
some of them. Especially a company that's never made a Chromebook before, and I mean, we wouldn't be in there looking for the word framework, but I'm assuming maybe somewhere there's a framework email, but maybe they were smart about it and they got a Chromium, because a lot of these developers have Chromium emails.
Right.
Samsung and Asus are the only ones that use like their company emails. But
I have a sneaking suspicion
that
Samsung
is not anymore. Yeah, so
I can't believe they're not working on.
But yeah, I'm anxious as well because this is obviously a very unique device, but it is also a processor that that is new to Chrome OS.
Yeah, there's just so much to talk about with this Chromebook. So
start kind of broad. What exactly is Framework? Has it existed in other? Like with other OSs and what can you do with this?
I
want to
say Framework is, I know they've got an 11th gen. I think they did a 10th gen as well.
I believe so.
A couple of years, 2-3 years at least. I could be misinformed there. It could be
even
older.
They do Linux also?
I think so.
I mean, even if they don't, it wouldn't be hard to get one of their Windows machines. And
yeah, because remember on their blog, they've got that somebody.
Oh, yeah, that first Linux post is something Linux.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm pretty sure they do a Linux distro that you can get with it. But yeah, the idea is pretty simple. It's funny, like, as laptops have gotten thin and phones have gotten smaller and stuff squishes, like, we have to solder more things. Yeah. So things have been less, like, MacBooks, you used to be able to crack them open mm-hmm. and at least upgrade the storage and RAM.
Yep.
And even, I remember people changing, like, logic boards and stuff, which is basically the motherboard of the device. That all used to be doable. Then none of that stuff's doable anymore. You crack open a Windows laptop or a MacBook or something, or most Chromebooks, and not a whole lot you can do to it.
Windows devices a lot, most times, will have like a little door to upgrade the RAM or replace the RAM, but everything else is just kind of...
Yeah, modularity has gone gone away in the pursuit of thinness and lightness right. and stuff. And so back in the day, you know, when PCs were newer and you had towers and stuff, and we still have towers, but most people buy laptops now, it seems. You know, those are obviously very modular if you know what you're doing. Like, if you understand how to pick the right motherboard and, you know, hook up all your cables and all that kind of stuff, then, you know, you could build something that's unique and go get all the pieces and put it together however you choose or see fit. And people still do that. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. It's just not the norm anymore. And so what's happened is people have gotten away from that, from expecting modularity in their laptops. And Framework kind of comes and puts all that on its head and basically has a laptop, and it's just one. That's mm-hmm. they build the laptop, and that laptop is built of pieces that you can buy in their market and replace as you see fit. And interestingly enough, we keep looking at this picture because it's just
it's so cool.
Fascinating to think about. There's QR codes on each of these little pieces.
Yep.
I mean, heck, even on the fan over the motherboard there, you see their logo sitting on it. Like, it's very thoughtfully put together inside the chassis as well, where each of these pieces is liftable. You know, just pop the band off, and you can even see on some of the bands and stuff that some of the cables, the ribbon cables.
Yeah.
Instead of being thin and easy to tear, they're like double reinforced and all that kind of stuff. So you can just grab them and pull them. Even some of them have like little finger hooks and you know, a spot to pull. And all the pieces that make up this laptop, and it's, again, it's not these laptops, it's the laptop. Like, that's it. That's one laptop. The screen, the bezel, the chassis, all of it. You can go to their site right now and buy a DIY kit and get the pieces and assemble it yourself if you wanted to. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that unless you're just into that. But the idea being, if all the pieces are completely modular, and there's some interesting modularity going on the outside as well, but I mean, we're talking speakers, everything, all of it's modular. Anything that goes wrong or fails or you damage on this device can be replaced. So, I bent the frame. We'll buy a new frame.
Right.
Probably take all your stuff out and put it in the new frame.
Yeah, and that's the difference between this, and because you hear about devices that are field serviceable, and a lot of Chromebooks are field serviceable, like for EDU and stuff, but that's IT guys, tech guys who have field manuals on how to dismantle and replace the keyframes and things like that. It's not an easy task.
No.
And if you've ever taken apart
tools and everything.
Yeah, if you've ever taken apart electronic, you know... Oftentimes you'll get it back together and something's just not right. It's not clicking together right. It doesn't fit right. The fit isn't whatever. This is not that. It's not quite Legos, but it's literally like everything snaps into place, which is so just so awesome.
There's a handful of screws, you know, like that comes with its own screwdriver, by the way, too, in the box. That's made of like 80% post recycled. Most of it's made of between 30% and 50% post consumer recycled stuff.
Does that have their logo on it?
I don't know.
That'd be cool.
Oh, on the screwdriver?
Yeah.
I would assume so.
Yeah, nice little,
almost guarantee
nice
it.
Little, nice little prop you can use.
But the idea being here, you know, it's easy to repair, but it's also easy to upgrade. So, I mean, and we're talking the bezel on the screen is magnetic. So it just magnetically drops into place and you put the keyframe down over top of it.
Did I see in one of the videos that somebody was snapping on an orange bezel?
So they sell
they
three colors.
Cool.
They sell the black one that's in that picture, an orange, and then a white, light gray kind of color that you can pop around it. But, you know, they could rest on that and just be like, cool, you can upgrade all this kind of stuff. And here's this bum processor and 4 gigs of RAM, and just be happy with the fact that you have a computer you can replace. But it's not that. It's high end, pretty much everything. You've got a what looks like to me the same panel that's in the 713, the same version of some sort of that panel that's in the 713 and 513 from Acer, and a similar version of that panel that's in the HP Elite Dragonfly. 13.5 inch, 3x2, 2256x1504 resolution.
Okay,
like, it's super bizarre. It's the exact same resolution, same size, same aspect ratios. So I'm like, some company was like, hey, we're going to make a good, great, and best version of this of this screen, and it's been used in lots of laptops over the period. Like, I think one of the Surface devices uses something similar, and great screen. I've said it countless times about other Chromebooks. It's my favorite screen layout. It is the right, like, it is correct in all ways. It's just right. Like,
it is best.
It's enough to work on by itself. Yeah. It's tall enough that you're not wasting space on the sides, but it also is condensed enough that when you close the laptop down, it's, you know, reasonable, high enough definition that everything's clear. Like, it's great, and it's 400 plus nits. So boom, you got the screen. Screen's good. Chassis is aluminum. Excellent. This, they could have just been like, hey, here's a plastic chassis. Who cares? You're gonna disassemble it. It's a Lego. It's Duplo. You know.
Yeah.
But it's not that. It's aluminum. I would assume, based on some reviews I've looked at of the Windows devices, that it's probably going to be parts of it that don't feel quite as, like,
cohesive
crafted as, like, a MacBook or something like that, because you can take it apart with a few screws. Right. Like, so I think people have to temper their expectations on some of those things. And it's a magnetically attaching bezel. Like, most bezels have 65 snaps on them that you'll break if you try to take them off.
Yeah, you're going
to
break them when you take them apart.
They're terrible. Yeah. This one just, you know, lifts off, which is awesome. But also, again, you have to consider what you're working with here. But then, you know, everything in there lifts out. So the motherboard can come out as one piece. Your RAM module comes out, your memory, your Wi-Fi adapter, because that's got your Bluetooth in it as well, your battery, your speakers, all of it can be taken out and put in. And so not only is it repairable, like, you drop it and bust that screen, you can go on Framework right now and buy that screen again. Get it, comes in, pop the thing, pop this one on, close it back up, done. It's fixed. Fix it yourself. But it's infinitely upgradable as well. So right now they're on 12th gen Alder Lake. And so, you know, it comes with the Chromebook they're doing is this. And I'll let Gabe talk about I don't really remember the cores and stuff, but the Core i5 1204?
1240p. Yeah.
Fast Core i5 12th gen processor, 8 gigs of RAM, 256 gigs of NVMe storage, 400 nit screen, backlit keyboard, fingerprint scanner. You had me. You got it. That's all the specs I'm looking for. Good to go.
Because this is a clamshell device, correct?
Yeah, so no converting. And I did see that screen is not touchscreen.
Right.
I don't know that they
don't have one.
I don't think they have an option for that, but it doesn't mean that.
Could add one down the road?
Next week. A touch version of that screen, we know they exist, obviously. They're on lots of Chromebooks. Could show up and they just go, oh,
the code's already there in Chrome OS. So,
yeah. I mean. So there's a chance that comes. And that's the beauty of this. Like, we get to 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th gen Intel devices. And they go, hey, buy that motherboard. And yeah, it's going to cost you some money. It's not like, oh, you just swap them for free. But ostensibly, you could sell that motherboard on, like, if you pull it out and be like, hey, I've got a 12th gen Core i5 framework motherboard. If somebody wants it, sell it on eBay and get some money back.
Or they
for
do
it.
A trade-in program, something. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's like PC guys, you know, you upgrade to the newest graphics card. You know.
And there's somebody wanting
it. It's not like the graphics card just don't work or whatever. They work, you know.
So you could upgrade that. You could upgrade up to 64 gigs of RAM and up to a terabyte of storage. And somebody asked in our Patreon, like, well, you know, I don't see anything but the standard 8/256 layout, you know, like, because you can pre-order it now. And I was just like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you want more RAM, just go to Amazon and buy a stick of RAM. When it comes in, pop the screws out, pop the RAM in, close it. Like, so it's upgradable as time goes on. So even if stuff breaks or starts breaking down, you can get a new version of that thing instead of buying a whole new device. Yeah. And that's their whole shtick. Like, make it easy to repair, but also make it easy to upgrade and kind of fun. And every one of those pieces has a QR code. You scan it gives you a walkthrough, a guide, and a video of how you need to go about doing that particular piece of repair or replace. It's just so thoughtfully done. I love it so much. And I really do want to love it enough that when it shows up, like, this might be the first Chromebook I personally buy for myself in a while. Like, I might purchase it to be like, hey, I'm keeping this, and I'll upgrade it as time goes on. And
that's cool.
This is my laptop.
I didn't realize it had a fingerprint scanner. That's cool.
Yeah. Replaceable as well.
Yeah.
You can buy
it. Love it.
Buy it on the site.
So I understand a stick of RAM, you could just go buy any stick of RAM and put that in.
As long as it's the right type.
Yeah. Right. Of course. Yeah.
Yep.
But these other parts, hard drive, I see the battery up there. Are those universal as well, or that, do you have to have...
That's the hard drive right there in the middle. NVMe storage. That's NVMe storage. It's the same as what we see in Chromeboxes.
M.2,
and,
right?
Yeah, M.2, higher-end Chromebooks. You can go to Best Buy right now and buy that. Cool. Absolutely. Yep. We've got some laying around
now,
here.
You do have to realize that when you if you go do that, likely from Framework, if you were to buy an upgraded module... And it was for the Chromebook version. It's going to have the stuff flashed on there, Chrome OS flashed onto that drive.
Right.
If not, it's very simple to flash. Like we've swapped out hard drives on Chromebooks. Mm-hmm. You use the recovery tool, flash your recovery disk, close it up. There's a TP. Is it TPM or
TPM,
whatever?
Yep.
Is in the motherboard itself. It's going to be like, hey, got no Chrome OS. I don't see it on the hard drive that you put in here. Would you like to enter recovery mode? It'll walk you right through. Put the thing in there, it'll find it there, it'll flash it to the drive, and then you're up and running. It's a 30-second
process. Framework has not said anything about long-term on these devices. Obviously, it's going to get 8 years of support like any other Chromebook. But as Robbie said, ostensibly, if they continue to make motherboards that fit in this chassis, now if their chassis goes through under a major evolution and it no longer fits, but if they continue to make motherboards that are swappable with this, this device could last forever.
And we've seen a 400 nit screen is a good screen, and that resolution has been around, it's not like this is some old tech that they threw in here. It's a fairly modern screen that's going to last you for a while. Have you read anything about like the keyframe and the trackpad, how they feel?
No, not yet. And most of the reviews are pushing a year old, and they're of the last gen of all the pieces and stuff. So all the stuff is going to be a newer version of it. And so, I'm waiting to kind of lean into, when we get a review unit and stuff like that, to really try that stuff out. Because again, I want to love it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want it to show up, and I want to love it and realize that there's going to be some stuff about it. Maybe that's not perfect, but the idea of it is enough to kind of carry me through some of those things. And if I do, like making it when I'm not reviewing something, like this is the Chromebook I go back to.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. We'll see when it actually shows up.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes.
Logo of that right there, is that their actual real?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same font? Man, it's really close.
Up to
Google's Chrome font.
The R is a little different.
Yeah, the R is a little flat.
Okay. So it's probably similar, type modern of sans that's not there. Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of Google and kind of similarity there, this was an announcement that was made kind of in partnership with Google, which is cool.
Yeah, so I mean it's obviously it's something, the way that Framework put it is, Google sees, it kind of aligns with the way that we want to build laptops and this idea of safety and security and longevity. I mean, this lines perfectly up with the idea of Chrome OS Flex, for instance. Like, Chrome OS Flex is here, and we can put it on these old, crappy laptops, and it works great. Well, if Framework's idea is longevity and sustainability, Chrome OS lines up with that. It makes sense in that, because it's not some OS that's got all these barnacles on it and it's, you got to have all this stuff in order for it to run. It's like, nah, it runs on lightweight hardware. Yeah. However, they were still like, that's cool, but we'll also, to start with, you're going to get top end stuff here.
Yeah, because like this is 12th gen. This is Steam Gaming, Iris Xe graphics. Again, this is a chip that's not in any current Chromebooks on the market. It's an i5, but it's that P series, so it has 12 cores and 16 threads, which is
8+4.
Yeah, it's 8+4. So I think it's using Intel's Big Little architecture that they're doing now, which is not the same as ARM's Big Little, but similar concept. But this thing is going to be, I'll have to see if I can find some benchmarks, because there's a Lenovo that's on the market already that has this in a Windows device, and see what this i5 looks like compared to just the regular one that's in some of these devices that we have. But I'm going to bet you that this thing is a holy terror, because the one benchmark I found from Notebook Check actually has it beating the i7 from same family.
Whoa.
Which is crazy. So. Yeah.
It's going to be a beast, and you know, with NVMe storage and plenty of RAM, like, nothing you're not going to be able to do on this. Like, the touchscreen to me is the only part where I'm like, for some people, that's going to be an issue. Like, I like to reach up and touch the screen from time to time, but it's not something I do constantly.
Airbar.
It just depends.
Me and Andrew have gotten used to not doing that using the Macs. It's fine. I don't need to.
I don't need to.
It's fine.
I hate it. I hate it when I'm on a device that's not touchscreen. I go to dismiss a notification.
It's so funny. I mean, I get so used to it working on the Pixelbook Go, which is still what I carry around with me, that there's times like I just won't be thinking about it, especially when I first open up the device in the morning to log in. I'll go to like, oh, wait, no. There's got to tap the other fingerprint scanner. I can't tap that. Yeah, whatever. It's it's cool that it's releasing with this sort of specs. It's, it's really cool.
I just didn't think that would be the case. Like, you know, full disclosure, we knew that this device was coming, but had zero detail about it.
Right.
And it's, I just freely assumed it would be i3 or like a Pentium or something like that. Like that, you know, that the company would just be like, hey, it's pretty cool that you can disassemble this thing. That's enough. So here's whatever specs you get. And that's just not the case. And so, you know, it'll be interesting as we get closer to launch. I don't think right now on the pre-order page, and Andy, you might be able to check that framework. I think it's just .com.
No, it's frame.work.
Oh, cool. That's even cooler. I think the base models, all you don't have an option, but with all their other ones, you have i7s. I think they do i5, i7. Maybe by the time it's closer to launch, because it's not supposed to be actually shipping until December.
And what's the price point?
$999
for the model you all have talked about.
Mm-hmm. So
is that so? That's the model you can go buy
for now. Yeah,
they might have other configurations later.
But if not, like Robbie said, if you like, hey, I really want an i7.
Yeah,
get on their website and buy it.
I mean, I say that, but they're going to have to at least have the Chrome OS TPM on it.
But the RAM and stuff, absolutely. If you want 64 gigs of RAM, just go buy some or order it from Framework or whatever.
Yeah, so the RAM and storage upgrade is going to be super simple to do on your own. But, yeah, I love the concept of this. I love the idea that, you know, because you get nestled into a device and it's kind of like, it's just comfortable. It feels comfortable to you. And I've had certain Chromebooks, you know, I go through a lot of Chromebooks, but... You know, I've had certain ones that I've rested on for a little while, and it's always nice to just go back to them. Like, I just miss the comfort of knowing when I open this thing up, this is, I know what to expect. I know your slight little weirdnesses, and, you know, I'm just comfortable with it. And I just haven't had that in a long time. Like, I just go through so many. And, like, right now, the one I'm taking home with me is, randomly, the Acer 514, the not spin one, the mid-range MediaTek one. It's just a great device. I got, and for some reason when I was reviewing it, I ended up taking it home a lot, and then I kept it around the house for a while after the review process was over, and so I just got comfortable with it. And so I've kind of gone back to it, because I'm like, and it's low price, kind of mid-range thing, and I just comfortable with it. And so I'm looking forward to having a device that, through all the upgrades of everything else, will just kind of be the maybe the one I just keep going back to for a little while. And especially if, you know, a couple generations from now they're like, hey, you can buy a new motherboard for $300 and just swap it out and have basically a current gen Chromebook again.
For sure.
That'd be awesome. What was the part of it that we were talking about that Kevin said, well, you can't upgrade that part?
He just said they haven't promised any upgrades to it yet. So technically speaking, they could launch this, decide they don't want to make this anymore, and never have another motherboard that has the Chrome OS TPM stuff on it.
And then everything else is upgradable as of right now.
But then it's just like any other Chromebook in 8 years, it's AUE and whatever. But
they just haven't they didn't say they wouldn't. They just haven't promised it yet. And so I'm like,
but why should they?
They're a pretty new company. I don't know that they even.
Well,
let's want to make sure that they.
Let's just ask them. They'll probably tell us.
Yeah, we'll try to get somebody on the horn and talk about it. Because, again, just because they're not promising it doesn't mean they're not going to do it. And
right.
It's not like they're... If they continue working as a company, if their company continues working, they're making money and
they
staying
afloat. They have a Chrome OS line. They will support the Chrome OS line.
Well, they're going to keep making that motherboard that fits into that laptop. Right. So literally, all I got to do is flash that TPM on there. It's just like setting up the BIOS. It's not like it's some heavy lift.
Yeah.
It's not some brand new thing. They're not making a Chrome OS specific motherboard. Right. They just put the BIOS on there for Chrome OS. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. What do we have Andycam looking up? I forget.
Yeah, so it's a base is i5, and then the Windows offer i7.
Okay. Oh, so okay. I didn't know if they put an i7 offer on there for the Chromebook yet or not, but it would not be a big deal for them to do that. And maybe they'll do an i3 at some point, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You never know.
Maybe a little cheaper, give somebody a more affordable option. What was the what's the release date? What are they saying?
So you can pre-order it right now, $100 down. And it's refundable if you decide I don't want my pre-order. But that puts you in the queue. They're doing batch ordering, so once they hit a certain batch number of, I'm assuming, of orders, 50 orders or 100 orders, then they'll produce that batch.
There you go.
But they're
go get
early,
a reservation
early December. That's what they're saying.
Oh, cool.
So right around the corner.
And
that'll be here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm putting in my article.
Out. You had mentioned the article you were working on.
Yeah, and I'm just. All the stuff I've said, all the things, the reasons I want this thing to be good, and I want to make it my, like, this is my go-to Chromebook for a while. But I'm holding off on that until we're hopefully going to get hands on one pretty soon, and then hopefully we'll have a review unit at some point in like October or November, I would hope. And honestly, I'm going to wait until I've messed with it, because $100 down isn't that big of a deal, and it's refundable, so that's even less of a big deal if you're like, man, I'm sold on this. I'm like sold on the idea of it. Like I really want to like it, but I know I'm going to get hands on it beforehand. And so I'm going to do everything I can to be able to share that with everybody, you know, the YouTube and on the site and here on the podcast. And so if that works out and I can get hands on it, I'd like to do that before I order it. $1,000 bucks. It needs to be good. I mean, it's got to be good.
Yeah. I think the one thing, that we'll need to, you know, spend time with, and this is what we talk about with Chromebooks all the time, is, you know, your operating system, all of that's, you know, is the same. It comes down to the kind of the fit and the finish and the aesthetic and kind of the everyday use and feel of this device.
Right.
And we have so many good devices for that sort of money.
Yeah.
That's if the fit and finish isn't there and you're spending that sort of money, then you have to say, okay, well, like what, like, Is the upgradable nature of this device worth it?
Right. Right. And for me, it just wouldn't make any sense.
No, it has to compete with the other $800 devices.
It needs to feel solid.
Yeah.
The concept is incredible.
Amazing.
It is.
Yeah. And it does. You're right. It lines up perfectly with Chrome OS.
And I'm assuming if they've on their third iteration of their Windows devices,
at least third, hopefully,
they've honed that. I mean, I would think you don't set off doing something like this and not have, you know, some good design going on. So
I'm curious like how that works. I'm guessing, you know, you buy stuff generationally. You know, do you have to buy a certain like RAM and storage, obviously not, but like this is the battery, the motherboard.
Line up with a certain generation.
You got to buy the right generation version of it.
Do you think they changed like the chassis and stuff enough?
I think so far they haven't. I think they've kept the exact same size and everything the whole time, from what I understand, but that could be wrong. I think early on, maybe it wasn't a 16, it might have been a 16 by 10 screen at first.
Is that a HDMI up there?
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. Crap.
HDMI?
Forgot. Underneath on each side, there's two per side. So these little quick access, like cards. There's something cards.
Yeah, they look like
port expansion.
Yeah, port expansion cards. Which is actually kind of an old thing, if you remember. Oh, yeah. There were old school Windows devices that had ports that popped out.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, so like...
I used to sell those when they were like cellular connected.
Yeah,
PCIe cards.
Like why? Yeah, PCIe, like your Wi-Fi card used to be removable, and you could remove it, and you could slide in other. Yeah.
So when I first saw Framework and I saw those, I thought that's what they were talking about. I'm like, it feels a little gimmicky.
That's it.
Yeah. Once you see the whole package, it's like, oh, cool. This is just a neat addition on the outside. So, the cards are like $15, $10 and $15,
and it's cool because they're kind of interchangeable, right?
You can put whatever you want.
Yeah. So if you don't want like three USB-C ports. You can switch out for whatever.
There's HDMI, Ethernet. there's just like a data card kind of thing. So you technically pull it out because they hook in via USB-C. So I think it's like a Thunderbolt four port maybe on the inside. So you pop it out and put it in like a camera or something if you
want. Oh yeah,
to.
That's what wasn't that D2D was talking about? Yeah. Or yeah, it was talking about how cool it was because I can literally, this is my portable storage for my camera, and this I can record straight to it and then just pop it right in.
Yeah,
I mean, and you don't have to move stuff around. Like Joe's getting excited about that. It's like,
it's pretty cool. But you know, if I want an HDMI and then three USB Type C's, that's what I can have. Or if I want a USB A, USB C, an HDMI, Ethernet, there's four. So you can kind of make it the way you want it,
because yeah. whether you may not know this, most of those ports are all technically USB anyway. They are on a USB bus.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, what's cool is that the whole idea is you could just buy extras. So literally, and if swap I need,
oh yeah, it's
cool. Let me pull out of my backpack, throw it in there.
Yeah. I'm not getting a good connection with Wi-Fi when I'm traveling.
Yeah.
This hotel has an Ethernet.
Whoop.
There's my Ethernet.
Bye-bye.
That is really cool, and for the price point, it's like,
yeah, it'd be different if they're $60 a piece.
Do they offer an RJ45 like an Ethernet?
Yeah, it's $39 for that one.
What do you have a list in front of you?
Yeah, so USB-C, USB A, HDMI,
HDMI,
DisplayPort, micro SD, and Ethernet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I forgot the micro or the DisplayPort.
No USB B.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the house-shaped one.
It's the back of your printer. That's what that is.
Yeah. That's dope. Yeah, I think this is such a cool concept, and I'm excited to get one in the office and test it and kind of get a feel for the fit and finish.
Because, again, it doesn't – to me, at the $1,000, this is a different value proposition than most devices. So, like, the $1,000 to me for – it's not just a regular Chromebook that's going to be what it's going to be. Like, this, it has the potential to be upgraded, downgraded, and changed. And so that counts for quite a bit. The build quality can't be a complete hit. Like, it can't be like, oh, God, it's so terrible. Like, it's not fun to use. Yeah, I can upgrade it, but it feels like I'm typing on a box. Like, that's no good. But I don't think that's going to be the case at all. So while it may not feel like a Pixelbook necessarily, I don't think it's going to feel like some cheap piece of trash either. And so it doesn't have to be like that Acer I was talking about has an old plastic bottom chassis. But overall, the build quality is pretty good. And the trackpad on it, for some reason, is just one of the best I've ever used. Yeah. It's huge and it's awesome. And like the input methods are good enough. Like, and the price is reasonable. And so, like, your brain allows you to go, I can make concessions for this or that or the other based on the price. And so it seems like $999 would be like no concessions. Like, for a Chromebook, that has to be like pretty perfect. But I think because of all of the cool stuff that's going on, it's going to be like, I'm going to judge this more like a $500 or $600 Chromebook. I can deal with a couple inconsistencies.
Yeah. And if it's somebody who is buying a device and know that they're the type of person that's going to have it for a while.
Oh my gosh.
If you're the type of person that wants the latest greatest and you're techie and you like having the new things that are out, this might not make the most sense. No. I mean, you can always upgrade it and kind of have the latest and greatest feel, but as far as, you know, Asus came out with this new whatever, you know, like, you're not going to get to experience that. So, but if you're the type of person that buys a phone and keeps it for a couple years, or buys a laptop and keeps it for 5-6 years, which there's a lot of people out there that's
not that way, but kind of aspires to one day be that way.
He's trying to convince him. There's no way you're going to keep this thing long term. Like, he's like, I want this to be my one device.
I don't think you aspire to be that way.
No, see, but I can do it with Chromebooks because I get to mess with all the other ones.
Right. You just without keep having this to buy one.
Like, this is the
device.
One I bought.
True.
Sure.
I don't even know if I do. I even own a Chromebook at this point.
My wife CR 48.
I mean, I was going to say the CX5 I've got, bought for the house.
I got that Samsung.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the CX5, Samsung.
Series 3.
The Duets are floating around over there.
Duets, yeah.
It's been a long time since I bought my own Chromebook.
But not for you, necessarily. Yeah, so that is interesting.
Like, the last thing I bought was a Pixelbook.
Yeah.
For myself.
I had to break out my old Edgar Acer 14. Goldie.
Edgar.
Goldie Hawn.
Oh, Goldie.
Old Goldie.
We'll wait half a day while it boots up.
Hey. I mean, it's true, but hey.
Yeah. So there you have it. We'll keep you all updated, obviously, as more information comes out. This was just kind of the initial release announcement of framework coming to Chrome OS. And we're really excited. We can't wait to get one in the office, and we'll keep you all updated. This will be a fun unboxing.
Yes, it
That'll
will.
That'll be a fun unboxing.
We'll just keep taking it apart.
Yeah.
Like a full unboxing.
Yeah.
Disassembly.
I love it.
Some assembly required.
Before we head into the break for some other ads, fresh roasted coffee. What are you guys drinking? What do you have?
We were talking about it. I'm not completely sure.
That's what I thought.
Josh brought
Shot the last couple days, which we did change the machine a little bit.
I'm not sure. Yeah, we've
changed the machine. You mean we broke it?
Andrew broke it.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I can confirm it, and I won't deny it. You broke
Who was using the machine when it stopped and acting made, properly?
Made weird sounds.
I was getting oat milk when it was happening, so I don't even know.
That's the problem.
You took the last of the oat milk and you broke the espresso.
It was a bad day for
me. It was.
All around bad day.
But no, I did feel like I feel like we're maybe drinking on the one that Josh brought.
Blackbeard's Revenge.
Yeah.
So either one.
It's good.
It's delicious.
We
normally have anniversary.
We have some of our anniversary blend. So if you want a special bag, a special edition bag of blend, just has our logo on it.
Cool bag.
It's a cool bag. Go check it out. Chromabox.com/coffee. Okay, quick break for some other ads and we'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunbox.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. Next up, let's talk about the new Chromecast that just randomly showed up.
Here it is.
Here it is.
We're going to announce it. And by the way, you can buy it. And we're like, is it Best Buy? Yeah. We went and bought one.
At our smaller Best Buy here in Elizabethtown, Kentucky.
Yeah. Only gets half of the things it's supposed
to. And the PR company was like, do you fill this out to get a loaner unit? And I was like, too late. We already went and bought one.
We're going to go buy one. How about that? For $30.
It's $30.
I don't want to borrow your Chromecast. Thanks.
This is interesting, though. It's kind of a...
Nope. Interesting is all you need to say.
Yeah, it's just interesting. You can get Google TV with the remote for less money than the existing Chromecast with Google TV. That's, I guess.
Yeah. In their press release, they made a fun point that the original Chromecast came out, and it was a big deal because it was this streaming casting dongle
thing
for $35, and people were like, wow, $35 is cheap.
And we always talked about what a great value it was.
Yeah.
We did.
And then like the third gen came out, it was also in that cheap range. This is cheaper than that.
Ultra was more expensive. Cool.
Yeah, the Ultra was like $65.
Right.
Then they had Chromecast with Google TV,
which is $50.
Yeah.
So this came out at $30, and it's like, look, I get it. I get what they're doing with it. It's just the timing's weird. Like this should have come out 6 months after the 4K, or alongside the 4K. It's in the same shell.
Yep.
It's the same remote.
Oh, they saved so much money on packaging. All they did was reprint the box. Everything else is identical.
It's the same. They put a little HD thing right there.
Well, it says Snow HD on the bottom there. But okay.
Yeah,
I
mean,
say, don't open it yet because we're going to open it on camera.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of new stuff or new thinking necessarily that went into this. And from a spec standpoint, it's... a slightly less capable processor. It is capped at 1080p. It is 1.5 gigs of RAM instead of 2 that the original has. And it's the same 8 gigs of RAM or 8 gigs of storage on board. And so when you just say the specs out loud, it's like, cool.
Yeah, where's the upgrade?
What
4K?
In the world is this?
That was my thing. Is like, if they bring this, they've got to bring a better. There's nothing wrong with the 4K Chromecast. It's just the whole storage thing, and then the update to Android
Which
12,
seems
whatever,
like might not be a big deal.
Yeah,
no.
But still, I'm like, if they had only made this 16 gigs of storage, then it would have been like, okay, cool.
But
I don't know.
It's weird. Because people that want better stuff have probably gotten a better TV, which means they're on a 4K television. Like, I held out. I feel like I held out forever to get a 4K television.
You did.
And we have one, and it's like, that's neat. But
from
sitting across the living room, I would venture to say most people would have a hard time at glance noticing the difference. You're not close enough to your television usually. And until there's a whole thing about this online. Like, if you're 6 feet away, the screen has to be X big for you to notice, for your eyes to be able to pick it out, for a 20/20 vision person to pick out the difference.
And that's me. It's like we got a bargain on our 4K TV from Sam's, so we got it really cheap. But it's a relatively cheap 4K TV.
Yeah.
And it works just fine. It's a Roku TV, so you have all the apps built in and whatever. But like we watched Andor last night, and there's a lot of really dark scenes in it. It's kind of got a gritty, it's got a real Blade Runner look to it, the first episode. The blacks are horrible, and I'm like, I would rather spend that extra money on a good OLED television.
That's what I
like
was
a 1080p
to say,
like, OLED screen would be a...
It's going to look better than my 4K.
I would much rather spend extra money for a better panel.
Good luck finding a 65-inch 1080p OLED screen.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Can't even do it. So the market clearly is moving that way. Like, go to Walmart, go to Best Buy, go to Sam's.
Everything's 4K.
Almost everything's 4K now. And so, like, it's a little weird to release a 1080p thing. So, but their bent is, okay, what about, this is, like, for the screens that maybe not your main screen, kids' rooms.
Bedroom.
Secondary displays, offices, schools, whatever, like... These displays, I mean, the one we got right here is 1080p. This is
bathroom mirror.
This TV's trash. If there's anybody listening from
garage TV,
Westinghouse,
sorry to offend you, but this is a piece of garbage.
So bad.
It was weird because they have like one of the biggest setups at CES.
They do.
It's crazy.
They probably make some high-end TVs.
Yeah, they
do. This is not one of them. I remember being a part of the purchase of this device.
Really?
Of this TV when HCC was here, and it was, what? We were looking for the cheapest possible television to put in this room.
You found
it. Where did we get it? Maybe that'll...
It's Best Buy. We went and picked. Kenny went and picked it up.
We did. How much was it? Like 100.
It was like
80 bucks
or something. Some stupid sale. It was dumb.
Yeah,
cheap.
It was $160 or $180.
That's about it.
It looks about like that.
The colors are weird, but you know, it's served its purpose.
It's a backdrop,
right,
basically.
Doing its thing. And like when the golf simulator was here, we'd throw video up there from time to time, and it's like, it served its purpose.
Sure.
It's fine, and so. That's what this guy is.
Right.
It does have a couple things, I think, that make it interesting, at least. For one, the processor natively supports AV1. So it's a newer codec. It's open source. It's free license, all that kind of stuff. YouTube uses it where possible, and Netflix does as well. And YouTube is really pushing hardware partners to have it natively able on hardware. And so it makes sense that this one would have that, but it's just like when you look at the compression and quality that comes from it, it's, you know, it's awesome as a streaming video codec. It makes sense. So this has the ability to do that. So you might end up seeing better looking overall streams over time with this versus the 4K when you're comparing a 1080p to 1080p. We're going to test it and see what 4K upscaling looks like on a 1080p input on a 4K television in there. Because, again, I have the feeling that once you sit back on the couch and you look at it, we're going to have a hard time noticing the difference.
Yeah,
we have a fairly large TV that is...
It's 65, I think.
Our couch is pretty close.
Yeah, 6 feet.
Yeah. In an average living room, I feel like most of the time you're back
probably
a
farther.
Little farther. Mm-hmm. Than what we have it set up in here.
Yeah,
we have it set up like
room,
that.
We're like 12 foot back or something, 14 foot.
Yeah. My living room, I'm fairly close to my living room. I'm probably about like this.
You're close to that.
But I'm with you. I'm really curious to see how...
I'd wager you won't be able to tell.
I don't think you will.
Especially once the content's moving. Like if you're looking at still images and you're looking at some like high-res image or something, maybe you'd be able to tell. But I bet you as with moving video on screen, I bet you'll have a hard time.
I don't know this, and I don't pay attention to this, but how much
informed, then.
How much content? I'm asking a question.
I thought you were going to tell me. So. I don't know anything about this, and I don't pay any attention to it. But look,
here's what I think.
Yeah.
No, I'm asking a question.
That's United
how
States,
much
baby.
Content? How much content on Netflix and HBO Max are 4K?
Disney's more and more.
A ton of 4K content. Yeah. Netflix has a lot.
Think about YouTube. Think about how many YouTubers upload 4K now.
It's we do. Yeah.
Like just in a couple years.
It's been really fast because 2 years ago, this would have been a completely different conversation.
Yeah,
like,
that's the whole point.
Oh, 4K is not that big of a deal.
Now how it's much?
I've written that in an article before. Yeah. How much 4K content are you really watching? And now I'm like, how much 4K content am I not watching?
So I was watching.
But you think about streaming video. There's a lot of times it doesn't quite look 4K. I know it says it's 4K, but it doesn't. Like,
that's exactly
these codecs don't quite work as
well. So the new Lord of the Rings series, Rings of Power, I was watching that, and I clicked down to like turn on the subtitles or something because they were, you know, saying some crazy stuff, and I couldn't understand them. So I noticed it said HD, UHD. And I was like, well, which one is it? What am I even watching?
I couldn't,
there was no setting. I clicked through Prime Video trying to find where.
And here's the thing. Did you get up close to your TV to look?
No.
I'm like, there's been times when
I was just curious. I think what is it?
It says it's in 4K and I get close to the screen. I'm like,
yeah, sure.
I don't think so. Because when you look at actual 4K footage on a 4K screen, like that's local, it's not non-compressed, you can tell. Like when you go to Best Buy and watch some of those TVs that are running the demo footage, and you're like,
"Well, wow, even mine and Andrew's UHD monitor, are those UHD monitors, those Acer, QHD. So those when we play back our 4K videos, like I always watch them right before I upload. I mean, I can see every single pore on your face. It's crazy.
But if you think about it, that's quad HD at a 25-inch scale, and so.
And I'm sitting right here next to it.
Right.
Like a TV that's up and you're,
it gets away, you know, pixels blend together. Like from sitting back here, you can, some of the edges on some of these logos I can see, but that's not the pixelization of the screen. That's just that logo is
probably
looks
image,
a little funny. You're not being able to pick out individual pixels from here, and that's a 1080p screen.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I don't know. And the benefit there is, at 1080p, that's a 1/4 of the pixels that the 4K version has to push around for stuff like UI, and when it's trying to load 4K video, it doesn't have to do that anymore. So, yeah, the processor's a little lesser, and yeah, the RAM is a little bit less. Again, I don't know this. I'm wagering it'll probably move around. The UI will probably move around way smoother on this one than the original one.
That's true.
Again, those are small concessions, and if it looks grainy, who cares? But I bet it won't. I bet it looks fine on our television in there.
Did I hear you all talk about at one point that there's some changes for the storage where you're not going to have as much of an issue with storage?
Yeah. So this is Android 12 out of the box, right? So the 4K one is Android 10.
Yeah, and it's Android TV based on Android 10.
Right.
And so, Android TV, Google TV based on whatever.
Up until this point, they've said they're not going to be able to upgrade the 4K one to Android 12. But now 9to5 is saying that Google told them directly they are going to, which means that it can do what?
So here's the deal. Like with your Android phones now, as of Android 12, part of the partition of your hard drive or your storage space is set aside for OS updates. Mm-hmm. No different than it is. They stole that directly from Chrome OS. So Chrome OS, you have your storage, you have the OS sits on part of it, and there's a little partition that is there for these compressed, encrypted updates, and that nothing else can get into that space. Like, that's all that thing's for. So when an update comes,
that's
it
goes
how
secure to the boot happens, because there's nothing that can touch any
right.
of that.
And it can look at that real quick and be like, okay, match. Good. We're good. Boot up. And so that partition holds that encrypted, condensed version of that update. Android 10 didn't have the ability. They didn't have that back then for Android 10. So the problem is, with such a small amount of memory, 8 gigs, and I think the user facing is only like 4.5 or something.
Oh yeah, 4.4
on the Chromecast. There's not enough room on there with the OS to update the OS, because you got to download the update. It's got to sit somewhere while it's installing. There wasn't enough room, which is embarrassingly terrible. And so that's why you haven't had any major platform updates on the Chromecast. And from what we had read just a couple days ago, like, that wasn't even in the cards. It was like, sorry, there's no way to do this without a hardware change. Like, there's just no room for it. Google's telling 9to5 that that's not the case now. So,
and maybe they've just figured out a way to do it. Who knows?
Like ultra compress the update, or they're going to be able to do it in pieces. Or I have no idea. But apparently it's going to update too. But this one comes with Android 12 out of the box.
So
that's 2 years newer of version of the OS, which you're not going to be able to tell. The outside, the Google TV part that lives on top of it.
It's the same. The UI is the UI.
Yeah, there won't be any differences
which still
there.
It looks great. Like, it's a good interface, I think.
But, I mean, it's 2 years better version of Android. They fix stuff over time.
Just moving through it.
It could be faster. It could be better. So, again, like, there's all these little things that might add up. I don't know until we open it up and plug it in. I'm not sure.
Which, I mean, for, like, phones and laptops, I get it. But for this kind of device, I really feel like they should, if it says, hey, this has 8 gigs of storage, the storage for the OS should be its own separate thing. It should have.
Yeah.
Should be a 12 gig device.
When the storage is that small. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was my thing is that.
Yeah.
I know.
I think Paul could store this in his Leaf over here.
But I mean, you can do external storage and stuff like that. There's ways to do that. Google doesn't talk about it and they don't tell you how to do it. MeCool, the one that we have on our TV at home right now, has its own dongle that they sell and a walkthrough on how to use external storage, like an SD card or whatever, which is cool. But the MeCool does not move around well, which is weird. It's really buggy.
Probably got a crappy processor.
I don't know what it is. I'll be honest with you. If my kids lost the remote to the Walmart one, it's been my favorite device.
It's
$19 and it's 4K and it got around.
They keep updating it too.
Yeah. $19 one was 4K?
The 4K one has been $19.98 since we went to Indiana, which has been a year ago.
That's what I bought it for.
Yeah. So, again, I don't expect Google's hardware to come out and be priced the same as the competition, but it's hard for me to look at this when I can go to Walmart and get a $20 4K stream.
Especially now that Android TV, the base Android TV, looks so much like Google TV.
Is the on 12? Still not the exact 12? Same. I don't know.
I have no
idea. Is the on 12?
on 12. I don't know.
It might be off 12.
It's off of it. It's on something else.
It's on 11.
It's honestly off 12 on 11.
For 99.99% of people, don't care. Like, the version of Android here doesn't matter because you're not running games on it. Like, until you get to a dongle like this that's actually built to actually run some apps, you know. I guess if you want that, you're still hoping that NVIDIA will eventually upgrade Shield TV and make a new one.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd be happy to pay $200 for a device that's, you know, because it's the existing Shield TV. Like, I've got the one that came out before the one that's out now. It can play some games pretty well, and more Android games are adopting remotes and stuff. But, man, the processors have gotten so much better since that thing came out, because that one's the one that's like 4 or 5 years old now. And it's like, it does GeForce Now just fine, but so does, you know, Android TV and stuff. So, like, that's not a big selling point anymore. I'd like it to be able to play some Android games would be kind of cool.
Right.
My kids would get into it. Like, Fortnite, if they could figure out Fortnite, for instance, on Android TV, like, that would be awesome, a huge selling point all of a sudden for that. But this is not that.
That's my thing, though. I'm just like, with the MeCools and the On and the other people that make these, the Android TVs, I don't understand, because Walmart's been selling for $20 for over a year, so they have to still be making money. They have to be making profit off of it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's probably razor thin.
Yeah, but still.
It's their in-house.
But they have the Android TV developer kit where you can develop these or whatever. I cannot believe that a company hasn't come in and said, hey, here's a 1080p model, or even here's a 4K model. It's $30 and it has 32 gigs of storage in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can even like copy some of the design, because, I mean, there is something about the remote. I mean,
I like the on TV.
I like the on TV remote.
It does
way
that,
better.
The pill shape one, it slides out of
your hands. Yes.
But from a design standpoint,
it looks great. Like,
but for somebody who cares about that might be a selling feature here. So just make a nice white remote.
But the Walmart TV, which is, I think the on one is pretty much the stock Android TV developer kit remote, because the MeCool is the same, but the colors are different. But I love that remote.
Yeah, I do too.
Absolutely love it.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's
except that it's gone now. I'm pretty sure one of my kids threw it away.
Well, kids do that sort of stuff.
Drop this in the trash.
So there you go. That's the Chromecast with Google TV. It's available right now. You can go buy
30
it.
Bucks.
You
can go buy it at
Best
like Home
Buy,
Depot,
Target, Home Depot, Lowe's, B&H Photo, Google Store.
It's everywhere. Go buy it.
And that's what. So I went to pick this one up. So
local farmers market.
Yeah, obviously Best Buy has had these in stock for a few days. And they just put them out on the shelves. That's great. So while I was there, Robbie asked me to see if they had the Fitbit Versa 4.
I need to pre-order that.
Went over to the Fitbit section. They have two models. They have two of them on the shelf and the little thing that says Versa 4. They don't have any Fitbits. The glass cabinet down at the bottom had two Fitbits in it.
Damn.
And it's a big cabinet.
Yeah.
So I went over to the guy.
They probably haven't gotten like Versa 3s in for a little bit since they know the 4 is coming.
But, like, no senses, no anything. I don't know anything
Sense
about
2 is coming out tomorrow, too.
Okay. That explains it. But I went over to the guy. I'm like, hey, I know you guys got them back there. Can I get one? He's like, let me check because I don't think we have any. I'm like,
you a lie.
Did you hear what it just said? I know you have them back there. Can I buy one? And he said no. So.
Did he eventually at least tell you that he had them?
His words were, well, according to this, they don't. I'm not talking like this to make fun of him because he didn't talk anything like this. I'm just like, changing my voice.
He was a very nice
young man. He just he said, our system says they are not released until the 23rd, so we cannot sell them.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? Okay. See up there? I don't know if they keep their stuff. They used to have like that high shelf.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all up there. You could see it.
Yep. You see right there?
Yeah.
That box?
No, that's
it. It's full of them.
Yeah.
It's full of them, but we don't have them. So,
yeah. So I'd be like, so listen here. What's your name? Jeff.
Ted. Jeff. Everybody's Jeff today.
Yeah, Jeff.
Everyone's Jeff today.
Are you telling me if I could get up there to that box, I can get one? Because if you're telling me that, I get up and I'm going to
buy me a ladder.
Yeah. So let's save that for next week because hopefully by next week have it.
The Fitbit?
Talking about that. I do. It's not a Chromecast podcast episode in the month of September if we don't talk about some sort of upcoming Pixel. So we have to. It's required.
It was a leak right before we
got we have to.
Pixel
7.
What?
What is that again?
What is
nothing.
That? That's something coming? What is it?
It's that Adam Sandler movie, right?
Yeah. Is Adam Sandler in Pixel? I heard that
Pixels.
Movie was awful.
Pixels. Wasn't it? Oh, it was horrible.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, it was horrible.
Wasn't there something else Pixel related before this leak, though? Let me pull my show notes.
Yeah, I wrote down pricing with the pricing leaks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was the Pixel Watch pricing. There was that.
Yeah, and the release dates changing. That all happened this week, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So the release dates.
I thought we talked about the pricing on the
pricing, I think, maybe came out. But, yeah, Pixel pricing literally leaked. Artem, who founded and ran Android Police
Target?
For a long time. Yeah. So he said he's pretty sure that this guy's legit.
Yeah, he's had a guy inside Target for a couple of years now.
Basically, he's like blurry cam photos. Oh, God, they're going to get me. Like, you're telling me you have access to the little thing.
You broke.
It's not broken.
Clyde?
Yeah, I look, because I got a guy at a store who sends me stuff from time to time, and he clearly don't care. He sends me, like, screenshots of the computer.
he's like, setting up photo shoots.
Got, like, lighting and stuff. He's like,
here's my username.
Hey, this Chromebook's going to be here next Thursday at 3:17. Meet me at the back dock.
He's getting on the PA. Hello, shoppers. Today, we have a leak of a Chromebook that's not really out yet. I just wanted everyone in here to know before I share this with Chrome Unboxed.
My name's
Steve, and I'm going to do this. I don't care if I get fired.
No,
okay.
It's Jeff. His name's Jeff.
Thanks,
and Janice,
Jeff.
I know you ate my sandwich. Boom.
You owe me a slice of pizza from the deli.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Costco has a deli?
I don't know.
I'm sure they do.
It's been Costco. To Costco like twice. Mm-hmm. We're Sam's people. We have Sam's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, super blurry photo. Like, looks like he was like running by
it's
the
like register. This.
Which, like, these phones are
it's
so good.
Tilted and blurred on one half of
that,
it.
It looks like a flip phone
like
photo.
New phones are so good about moving photos that, like, you're trying to make this photo
right.
Look
like,
this bad.
Is it that hard to go,
boop, Yeah, it's done.
Calm down and take
test
care
it,
of it.
Test it real quick. We'll put it in the video. Just here try to get a photo real quick. An inconspicuous photo of Clyde. Is that Clyde?
Which one was I'm like, Clyde? I'm not taking a photo of that.
Right.
That's going to be probably the best picture you've ever taken. Look at that.
Look at this.
Perfectly in focus. It looks like something from an art museum.
Go back. Insane. Go back. Watch the video. Look at how quickly he snapped this photo.
Just one more time. One more time.
We'll throw these in.
Do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're just talking. Yeah. Right here, and I'm just.
You're. How's that sales report?
You didn't even know I did it. It's like magic.
Janice had no idea.
How was that? The stocking.
I mean,
that you did this.
Paul the Platypus is in focus a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, you purposely like potato photoed it. Like to make it look like a, I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know. Something going on there.
Legit guy from
pretty
Target.
Pretty sus.
Yeah, shows you know all the three colors match up, the code names of the phones match up.
Yeah,
and the
yeah, it's legit. The guy just has a horrible phone. That's all.
Our shaky hands.
He's got an old Nokia.
I don't know. It is. I'm like my wife works at Target. Like I don't think Target's that buttoned up that if somebody were like, oh, what are you doing there? He'd be like, I don't know. I was just looking at some stuff. They'd be like, okay.
Somebody
be like, oh my god, are you leaking phone price? Like, whatever. Like,
hey, bro, start taking better pictures, and if you get fired, we'll get with Artem and we'll find you a job.
Yeah, okay, somewhere.
I'm sure we can work that out.
Yeah,
but yeah. So the pricing lines up exactly with Pixel 6 and Pixel 6 Pro, which is awesome.
Yeah,
because we're in the fully in since iPhone 10 the. Flagship phones are $1,000 plus world. It's just the world we live in. And we got there through small price increases year after year after year after year, and it kept happening. And then the iPhone came out at $1,000, and it just keeps, like, what's the base iPhone Pro Max big boy, like the base model of the high-end phone?
1,400.
I don't know. Andy Cam, what
I'd
is
say
it?
It's like 1,250.
I think it's like 12-something.
But that's my point.
Yeah, like, OnePlus was our saving grace, and then they joined the bandwagon. Yep. And then next, one of my OnePluses cost $900. I'm pretty sure.
Well, then there's this like weird like premium thing where it's
if it's not that expensive, there must be something wrong.
Is it as good as the iPhone?
Then? Right,
right.
Yeah. And because that's what marketing does.
That's what's happened
when it's done well.
And so last year, you know, everybody was like, well, you know, it's Tensor chip and, you know, usually Google makes more affordable phones. They don't make the like super high end. Well, the Pixel 6 Pro came out and I mean, hell, we were all bent out of shape about it. I remember podcasting and live streaming and like we made a whole video about like, do I go with this one or this one? Like this doesn't even feel like a Pixel. It's so nice and like glass and metal and it doesn't feel like a Pixel. And so I had the Pixel. I still technically own the Pixel 6. It's sitting over there in the fridge. I've been using the Pro for 3 months now, I think, the one that we have here in the office, and I love it now, but it took me a while to get used to a Pixel that's this nice, that's this well constructed. And so like last year technically was their first year of making a full in like premium, we're gonna throw all the stuff in phone. And so everybody kind of assumed it would be over $1,000, and they came in at $900, $899.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah. So, well, and on top of that, like the Pixel 6, like the standard phone, not the non-pro, at $600 was so amazing. Like the fact that they got that phone out the door for $600
value.
Was like, ooh, that makes it interesting.
It's a great value.
And it'll be more interesting this year if I'm so interested to see like the screen quality. Oh. Of the Pixel 7, like if the screen is really high quality, like I'm going pro, I'm not messing with that this year. But I
we'll see.
I love this phone. Yeah. I really 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 love this phone. And so like the Pixel 7, if they just increase the screen quality a little bit, we know the front facer is going to be better quality because you're going to get 4K video on it. So I mean, it's probably going to be even better value proposition at the same price again. So,
right, especially like with the 6, if they make those minor improvements and then it's constantly like $300 from your carrier if you trade or upgrade or whatever.
Impossible to
deny. It's
going
to be hard to look at a $1,200 Samsung and be like, oh, it's $900 better.
Because it's good looking too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like
it's what was that intro price on the...
So the Pro Max... enters at $1,099.
Oh, okay.
Just
okay.
The Pro is $999.
Okay. Huh. Why did I think
you got to go Pro Max though? I think because like we got to talk about full end flagship. Because
like, what's the top?
I'm thinking S21 Ultra. I'm thinking Pixel 7 Pro. That kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's so,
still over $1,000.
So you're dropping $200 off your top tier phone. You're dropping $200 off the entry level price versus the competition. So I applaud Google for continuing to make the best phone they're going to make, assuming there's no Pixel 7 Ultra hiding out. I don't think there is. There's been nothing else about it. I think those are internal phones, by the way.
Do we know the RAM on the Pro? Is it going to be 12?
Same. So 12. Okay. 12 and 8, 128 gig, 256. The rumor is there's not going to be a 512 option. I could see that maybe. I'm sure they look at the sales and go, how many people buy a half terabyte phone? And most people probably don't.
Right.
With Google Photos and back my photos up in one click.
Right, because that's the thing.
I don't ever think about phones.
I have 128 anymore. Gigs of storage. Yeah. I just checked. My wife's phone was acting crazy. I checked my storage just because I never do it. And I was like, okay, I have 80 gigs free, I think. Let me make sure. Yeah, I don't want to say that and be really wrong.
But that's the thing. That is very similar to my wife.
Oh, 81 gigs used, I'm sorry.
Used. So you have 40 gigs.
40 left. Gigs free. Yeah.
But how much of that's OS? So you're actually only using like 60-something gigs.
Yeah, bro. But I haven't even met. Like, I don't even consider... Right. Painting. I had 20 gigs of Google Photos crap I hadn't backed up as
right.
well.
And that's the thing.
I didn't think about it. 128.
My article about Wi-Fi 6 the other day, it's the industry has created that urgency for having a half a terabyte phone or a 250. I've had 256 phones, and that's great, but I've never gotten close to filling them. And it's a Pixel, which means it's a Google-centric phone, which means it's all built around the cloud. They want you to use their services. Things should be backed up. I probably have more than you because I'm bad about backing up my photos. Yeah, but
Joe didn't have his phone on him. I'm just curious now because hers was exactly the same. I thought it was a memory issue. It was not. But you know the
I'm at 90.
Okay,
so not much more.
But when's the last time you cleared out your Google Photos?
I never. And I shoot a video on my phone.
I have like 40 gigs of stuff.
Well, I need this thing. I have 21 gigs of videos because I shoot videos on the weekends with my phone.
Back it up, baby.
I'm just going to delete them. I'm just...
Back it up, Terry. Terry.
I mean, that's a priceless
Please
treasure.
Please throw a quick clip in right here.
I can't.
Right now.
I can't delete that photo or
Put it in reverse, Terry.
What are you doing, Terry?
Oh, no, Terry. Put it in reverse.
I got a lot of barbecue videos and stuff. I need to back them up so they're safe.
I do think if you put it on Storage Saver, I think it also compresses your videos, too.
Yeah, it does.
You don't have to.
But remember, with Storage Saver, I was having a... Remember I wrote that article, Storage Saver compresses it in 265 and it won't play on a Chromebook.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Right.
It was crazy.
Yeah, well, sorry Chromebook.
Siri.
That's weird because I do Storage Saver. And
really?
I have to check that. Maybe they fixed it.
Ooh, like, that would be, that's worth a, if they did, that's the writer.
Gabe wrote the article and somebody read it and fixed it.
That would be awesome. Crap.
I mean, they should. It's not like it's some weird codec.
Right. No.
It's not bizarre. It was just clearly a misstep.
Now you don't want me to clear out my photos, but I'll do that later.
But yeah.
Gabe,
I mean,
what are you doing over there?
No,
I got to clean my phone up. Yeah. This is bad.
Trust me.
But yeah, I think that the Pixel 7 is probably going to be a better value proposition than the Pixel 6 was, which is awesome. And then for people that want more, you got the Pro, and it's still way south of $1,000. Like, I love this. I'm so glad that they've kept these prices intact because I really do feel like the 7s are going to be just nice iterations.
Yeah.
Firming up of what they did with the Pixel 6. I don't think we'll see any big jumps in anything until the 8 comes out. Like Tensor 3 is going to be a new brave new world with 3-nanometer chips and all that kind of stuff, and maybe more bugs. I'm hoping the 7 launches. There shouldn't be a whole lot of surprises. It's basically the same chip. It's a better modem. Hopefully they put a little bit better fingerprint scanner in.
Done.
Oh, that's we hinted at this, but that's the other thing. The Target gentleman person
Sorry,
said up to $200 off?
$100 off.
So is it off or is it
it's a
gift card?
It's a $100 gift card if you buy it there, and then $200 for the Pro if you buy it there. Which
right,
is
and
nice.
that's just a retailer. That's a coming from car sales. That's a manufacturer discount. Target's just kicking it back in the form of a card because then you're going to shop
come
there,
back and,
which means Best Buy might do a gift card. They might do
$100
off.
Do it?
Google Store will do it. Your carriers are going to just give you that price.
Yeah,
if, so as long as you're upgrading and you're staying with them.
Right. It's, you know, $200 off for a limited time or whatever.
So
my hope is that they just do like
I'm hoping
my
I can
kids,
go,
I hope we can just swap.
Yeah,
like,
I just
want to
swap.
If it's in... Most new phones that come out, usually it's like if you have these new-ish phones within the last year, it's free to upgrade.
Right.
Just swap them out. Because to them, their carriers are starting to figure out now, like, the price of these phones, because they can turn around and resell these as used and all this kind of stuff. There's enough money in that whole racket. It's not worth them haggling you as a user to upgrade your phone. Like if you upgrade, then I'm kind of locked in ish. If I don't have the money to pay that phone off, I'm kind of locked back in with you for another 24 months. It's not a contract, but it's a contract.
Right. You're in a lease. It's a car lease.
And so, you know, I think they're figuring that out because like T-Mobile's super aggressive with that. Like a new phone comes out, like they're offering what, $700 or $800 off the fold. And it's like, yeah, it's an $1,800 phone, but they're going to give you half of the price off of the thing for to trade in something that I bought for $500.
The flip was free.
Right.
The new flip was literally free.
It's a $1,200 phone or something. So I'm like, they clearly have realized like, oh, if we just get people to hand us these perfectly good phones, we'll give them a brand new phone and we can sell these on a side market or to, I don't know what they do with them. I don't know what happens with those.
It's probably when you swap them. That's probably what they do with Assurant. That's where the phone replacement from T-Mobile, it is a refurb from Assurant. It is not a new phone.
Guaranteed.
Refurb stuff.
And I don't remember last time I paid full price for a phone. I mean,
no way.
OnePlus, probably when I went from the Nexus 6P to my first OnePlus. Yeah.
Heck, we got the Pixel 6s for the kids for quote unquote for free.
Yeah.
Bill credits on them because I traded in an iPhone 6 that I bought on Swappa for $40. I bought two of them, took them over to T-Mobile, handed them those. They handed me brand new Pixel 6s. I wrapped them up and gave them to my kids for Christmas.
I mean, what a great deal. That's incredible. Come on. Yeah.
It was awesome. And so this year I'm hoping it's just a straight swap. I'd love to be able to let them do that and it not be like a Christmas present thing.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're judging me for letting my kids have phones, well, I judge you for judging me.
Exactly. We live in a digital world, folks. Deal with it.
We run a tech blog.
My kids have had electronics
since they were like two.
Yeah, we might as well teach our kids proper.
And they're top of the class, both of them. So
exactly. There back you
up.
Go.
Back
Get up. Off my back.
Back up. Yeah. I'm not defensive. Right. You're defensive.
My children can't be trusted with phones. Sorry.
That's what family thing's for, baby.
Yeah.
Lock them down.
So there you have it. Pixel 7 and 7 Pro coming very soon. We cannot wait. We will be in New York reporting on it live. And
and we're all going to get into the event too.
Yeah, that's exciting. Woohoo! That's super exciting.
We got that.
Gabe and I are still waiting on our emails, Google.
They haven't been quick with anything. This is the first event back.
I'm sure they're still working through some of those, I mean, logistics and details of trying to do a live event.
They're like, what did we do with this again? It's been since 2019.
Well, and I'm sure they're going to have some, I don't know if they'll do any like restrictions at the door.
Oh, we all have to have
cards and
our
jazz.
Vaccination stuff, and then you have to have a negative test.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure they're like working through all those
Can't
details.
Wait to do
so,
that
whatever.
Again.
Yeah.
Love COVID testing.
Do we do it?
Just take a rapid test, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe when we land, I don't know.
We'll figure it out. But anywho, we're going to be there. It's going to be fun. And
it's in your
invite.
Once you register, it gives you a little thing.
It's going to be pizza and pixels or pixels and pizza.
Hey, we are pretty close to Roberta's, which is the pizza place that I went to on one of my trips up there. It was.
You said it's Italian style, right? It's
yeah.
New York style. I want New York pizza, baby.
It is straight up Italian brick oven
How
pizza.
How far away?
We'll
try that.
So
we can
good.
Eat pizza for all meals.
How far it was, away is Syracuse?
I don't know. Oh,
I don't even
very
know where
far.
It is.
Oh.
It's up.
That's in Buffalo.
Northern.
That's,
it's northern New York, right?
Yeah, that's like hours away.
Oh. You want to go to Syracuse?
What do you want to go to Syracuse for?
Is there an area in New York that's called Syracuse other than Syracuse, New York? Somebody said
I don't think so.
Someone told me that the.
I'm confused.
I need more details.
Someone told me that the dinosaur barbecue in Syracuse is the best one. Oh, but I'm like, they have one in Syracuse and one in.
Yeah, they're
that seems weird.
Really far away. Well, not really far away.
Yeah.
I'll have to Google it.
We can go back there too. But anywho, stoked to be in New York.
Yeah. We go back to the Brooklyn one. We don't have
the Brooklyn
time.
Was good. No. Yeah,
this is going to be a quick trip for us because we are landing, doing some stuff, event.
We're both leaving vacation.
Home.
There are no quick trips in New York, sir. That is a Southern thing.
Yeah, we're getting a Hux or Hawks here. I don't know. Anyway,
we're
excited. That's coming up soon. We will be in New York for all of that. So stay tuned. Make sure to follow us on social. All of that jazz. We're going to be giving you all the details live from the event. Okay. That's it for today. We appreciate you all listening. If you're watching this, which you should be, give us a thumbs up. Go on there and click subscribe and click the notification bell icon so that next week, or if we do an interview, maybe in the middle of the week, you get a notification when we publish a new episode.
Yeah. It's after hundreds of videos, it's really hard for me not to say, give us a thumbs up. Head down there, hit that subscribe button.
Yeah, I know.
And be sure to ring the notification icon if you'd like to be alerted when we make future videos just like this one.
Robbie,
until
Robbie,
next time.
Robbie Robot. We'll see ya. Robot Robbie.
Yeah, I just go into that mode.
His eyes glaze over. He just says stuff. He doesn't know what he's saying anymore. All right. We appreciate you all, and we'll catch you next week. See ya. Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunboxed.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.